brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate, or there is a memorial today, of St. John Vianney, who is a priest. And I was reading some of his background that I want to share with you. And I think I want to do that before we look at the readings themselves. Listen to this. John Baptist, known as John in English, was born May 8, 1786 in France and was baptized the same day. He was the fourth of six children born to Matthew and Marie Vianney. He was raised in a Catholic home, and the family often helped the poor and housed St. Benedict Joseph Labouré when he made his pilgrimage to Rome. Now, in 1790, when the anti-clerical terror phase of the French Revolution forced priests to work in secrecy or face execution, young Vianney believed the priests were heroes. He continued to believe in the bravery of priests and received his first communion catechism instructions in private by two nuns who lost their convents to the revolution. At 13 years of age, he made his first communion and prepared for his confirmation in secrecy. When he was 20 years old, he was allowed to leave the family farm to learn at a presbytery school in Écully, and there he learned math, history, geography, and Latin. As his education had been disrupted by the French Revolution, he struggled in his studies, particularly with Latin, but worked hard to learn. In 1802, the Catholic Church was reestablished in France, and religious freedom and peace spread throughout the country. Unfortunately, in 1809, John was drafted into Napoleon Bonaparte's armies. He had been studying as an ecclesiastical student, which was a protected title and would normally have exempted him from military services. But Napoleon had withdrawn the exemption in some dioceses as he required more soldiers. 2 days into his service, John fell ill and required hospitalization. And as his troop continued, he stopped in at a church where he prayed. And there he met a young man who volunteered to return him to his group, but instead led him deep into the mountains where military deserters met. John lived with them for 1 year. He used the name Jerome Vincent, and he opened a school for the nearby village of Lainaud's children. John remained in Lainaud and hid when gendarmes came in search of deserters until 1810, when deserters were granted amnesty. Now free, he returned to his own country and resumed his ecclesiastical duties. He attended a minor seminary in 1812 and was eventually ordained a deacon in 1815. He joined his heroes as a priest August 12, 1815. 3 years later, when Ballet passed away, Father John Vianney was appointed parish priest of the Ars Parish. With help from Catherine Lasagna and Benedicta Lourdes, La Providence, a home for girls, was established in Ars. He spent much time, because he saw the state of the people, spending hours in drinking and dancing, etc., or working in their fields, but not prayer. And St. John Vianney spent much time in confession and often delivered homilies against blasphemy and dancing. Finally, if parishioners did not give up dancing, he refused them absolution. He spent 11 to 12 hours every day working to reconcile people with God. Brothers and sisters, that's a true saint who had to deal with so many difficulties in his own life. But I know we don't have much time, so let's take a look at the readings for this. But I wanted to give you that background on John Vianney, because we know the name, it's familiar to us, but look what he had to endure. And he is, by the way, brothers and sisters, he is the patron of priests. What a fine example. Now let's take a look at the reading, as I said, Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 2, 12 to 15, and 18 to 22. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For thus says the Lord, incurable is your wound, grievous your bruise. There is none to please your cause, no remedy for your running sore, no healing for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. I struck you as an enemy would strike, punished you cruelly. Why cry out over your wound? Your pain is without relief. Because of your great guilt and your numerous sins, I have done this to you. This is a word of the Lord to Jeremiah. And thus says the Lord, see, I will restore the tents of Jacob. His dwellings I will pity. City shall be rebuilt upon hill, and palace restored as it was. From them will sound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will make them not few but many. They will not be tiny, for I will glorify them. His son shall be as of old. His assembly before me shall stand firm. I will punish all his oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own, and his rulers shall come from his kin. When I summon him, he shall approach me. How else should one take on the deadly risk of approaching me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has tried every way to bring us close to him. Ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to strengthen you and build you up. For the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. That's what the responsorial psalm is. The Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. And why should it not be that you will turn to the Lord more fully? Give your heart more fully to him as a wife, as a mother, as a husband, as a father, single man, single woman, wherever you are. The Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. May that be so for us. Let this be written for the generations to come. Let his future creatures praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height. From heaven he beheld the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to release those doomed to die. The Lord will build up Zion again. The children of your servants shall abide, and their posterity shall continue in your presence. The Lord, this is for you. The Lord wants to touch you. Draw near to him. Spend time with him. Wait upon him. I wonder if this isn't part of the reason why we are dealing with such a serious situation, not just in our country, but in our world. The COVID virus. I wonder. But whatever it is, God has slowed us down. And I know it's chaotic when you have small children. I understand that. But please, even if it's 15 minutes a day, please give some time to the Lord and ask him how you can grow more, how you can be stronger and stronger, a Catholic, how you can be a good Christian man and woman. Ask God to give you what you need. He will hear your prayer. Not right away. He waits upon you to see if you really do mean your word. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 1 to 2 and 10 to 14. Some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat a meal." He summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear and understand." Now, it's always very good to wash your hands before you eat a meal, but this was a traditional washing of hands. And he says, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters one mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles one. So he's making an emphasis here now on our conversations. What comes out of the mouth is what defiles one. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. Look at your conversation. Look at the words you use. Is it worthy of a Christian? Is it worthy of a Catholic? What are you going to do? We need to change. That's what we need to do, and we need God's strength for it. Come to him every day, for 15 minutes even. If you can have a half hour, that's wonderful. But even 15 minutes sometime in the day to give God your undivided attention and ask him to strengthen you, that even your conversation may glorify him. Then his disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he said in reply, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit." Brothers and sisters, those words are so clear. Please don't ignore them. Please don't ignore them. We do not want to be blind guides. We certainly don't want to be blind guides of the blind. We want to be men and women who love the Lord, who put him first. Brothers and sisters, I really, really do want to encourage you. And it's really a great difficulty to change, but have patience with you. Start out by cutting down on the words you say. If you can stop it, stop it. Stop gossip. Let your conversation be that which builds up and strengthens your friends, not words that just make them into some kind of a group of people who hate somebody or who separate themselves from somebody. Don't get into that kind of acting. You are a son or a daughter of God. If you have no mortal sin on your soul and that can be forgiven when you go to confession, open your heart. Open your heart today and say, "Lord, I want to be like a blackboard that you can write your words on my heart. You can say what you want me to do." And I don't mean that literally necessarily, that you can't talk unless God says something to you. But listen for him. What would be your right attitude? What would be the right conversation? How can you change a conversation if it's going badly? God will help you with all of that. Some other strong Catholics will help you with that too. Brothers and sisters, he loves us so much. He loves us beyond price, truly. He loves us beyond price. Please open your heart to him and let him shape you into the wonderful, wonderful disciple that he wants you to be. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.